This morning we mentioned that there is a throne of grace and that we have a great high priest. And as we consider that, I'm sure that questions came to the mind of the Hebrew people, and they're questions that'll help us as Paul answers them and anticipates them, that'll help us to understand what Jesus is to me and you. We read about in literature oftentimes of the priesthood of the believer. Now, I think I know what people mean by that. I think they mean that as a believer in Christ, we become our own priest before God. And that really isn't true. We do not serve as our own priest before God. As believers, we have Jesus as our high priest. The idea that now that we're believers in Christ, we don't need a high priest. We don't need a priest. And that's not true. We do need a priest. We don't need a priest such as one might see in the Roman Catholic Church. We don't have a man on earth who is our priest. We don't have a man on earth who is our high priest. But as believers in Christ, we have a high priest, and that high priest is Jesus Christ. This truth of the priesthood of Jesus was very important to these believers because they knew of this office. They had seen and had experienced being in the presence of and knowing what a high priest does. And because they knew the office of high priest, they would question, I'm sure, the credentials of Jesus as being represented as a high priest. And that's why Paul now involves himself in teaching the Jews that Jesus is a true high priest and meets all the qualifications of the high priest. He simply is not a priest after the order of the Levitical priesthood, but he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, as we begin our study in chapter 5, the Bible teaches us that high priests are brought into being in order to make offerings and sacrifices. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. The word ordained here means a person who has been appointed and set down for a specific task. Pertaining has in it the idea of having reference to. So Paul is saying that every high priest who is selected from men is appointed to represent his fellow men in matters relating to God, and that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. This has in it the idea of presents that are offered to God, and also sacrifices, which has in it the idea of killing and then offering the blood. He offers gifts to God and makes the necessary sacrifices for sins on behalf of his fellow man. Now, every high priest that's taken from among men has infirmities. Notice verse 2. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? Who can have compassion? And this word that's translated passion or compassion means to have feelings that are in the right measure. It has in it the idea of avoiding excesses either of enthusiasm or simply being impassive. The word indicates that an earthly high priest is not to pass over the sin of his fellow man without any regard to it at all. However, on the other hand, he is not to allow himself to be caught up in his passion and pity for the sinner, but he is rather to have a controlled feeling of sympathy. So this has in it the idea of being touched, but yet not so caught up with pity that one is not able to function. So he's saying here is a person who has compassion but is able to control his compassion and therefore function in his office. The ignorant here are simply those people who don't perceive or who do not know. And he must be one who is able to bear patiently with the ignorant and those who are wandering from the true way. For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Now this word compass doesn't mean to just draw a circle around it, but it's used to describe the person who has a millstone hung around his neck. As in Mark 9:42, or in Acts 28 and 20, it has the idea of being wrapped in chains. So it's much stronger than just saying he has a line drawn around him. It has in it the idea of being weighted down and being tied in. So notice, this infirmity just means lack of strength. For he himself, that is the man who's chosen from among men to become a priest, he is weighted down with his own sin and with his own infirmity. He's carrying a great load of sin and infirmity and weakness himself. Now, because of this, this person chosen among men, who must also deal with a weight of sin or a circle and millstone of sin, by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, that is, on account of these things, he's obligated, so also for himself to offer sins. Not only must he offer sacrifices for sins for the people, but because he himself has sins, he must offer sins for himself. And for this reason, he is bound to offer sacrifices for sins, not only for the people, but also for himself. Now, that's one of the qualifications of a priest, that he must offer sacrifices and gifts before God on behalf of people. Another qualification is that he must be called of God. And no man taketh this honor unto himself. That is, it is an office of respect and esteem, and no man can simply of his own will decide. This word honor is used to describe the high honor of the office of the high priest. Now, here's the qualification. Not something he takes upon himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. In other words, the high priest and the priesthood of the Old Testament wasn't a decision that was made by man. It was a decision made by God. He called Aaron. He called the Levites. He called Melchizedek. So these are honors that we don't assume ourselves, but they're honors that are meted out and divided unto men by Almighty God. Now, it's not talking about being called as a preacher. That's not involved. What's involved is being a high priest. I'm not a high priest. I don't pretend to be a priest, either high or common. And that's, we're not talking about being called to preach. We're talking about no man could be a priest who wasn't, first of all, one who offered sacrifices and gifts. He also was called of God. Now, Jesus met these qualifications. In verse 5, the Bible tells us, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee." He was appointed by the Father, but by him who declared to him, "You are my son." Who called Jesus to the office of high priesthood? It was his Father, the one who had begotten him, Almighty God. Now, this was prophesied, and Brother Pogue read the prophecy in Psalm 110 and 4, where it states, "Thou art forever a priest after the order of Melchizedek." That is, Melchizedek was a high priest. He did not have a father, that is, genealogy, through which he would be an inheritor of the office, but he was without father and without mother. That is, without father in the priesthood, without mother in the priesthood. Jesus is not a high priest after the order of Aaron, but he is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Jesus was also qualified in that he suffered and qualified himself by the act of suffering. Look at verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, and that means the days, the time that Jesus lived upon the earth in his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him. As we look at this, the word supplication means petition. It has in it the idea of someone who carries an olive branch that is entwined with wool, and it's borne by a supplicant to someone who can grant his wish. So it has in it the idea of more than praying, but actually carrying a supplication to a king or someone in high authority. Here, with strong crying and tears, evidently has reference to the kind of differences that were made by the Jewish people. It is said that entreaty is offered in a quiet voice, crying with a raised voice, but tears are higher than all. So what he's saying is that Jesus reached the very height of petition with his strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard, that is, the Lord was heard, in that he feared, that is, feared God. We realize that this has reference to the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus prayed. And there are those who say that Jesus prayed for God to deliver him from suffering and that God didn't hear him. And that is certainly not true. Jesus said of God his Father, I know that you always hear me. And this was said in reference to the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Jesus said, Father, let this cup pass from me. That's what he said. What was his prayer? Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine be done. God was able to save him. There were 12 legions of angels ready to save him. But Jesus didn't pray for God to save him from death, but he prayed, thy will be done. And that is the prayer that God answered when he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. And that's a prayer that God will hear us prayer. Will hear us pray. God heard the prayer of Jesus. Jesus did not ask that this cup would pass from him, but his prayer was, not my will, but thine. This was the prayer that God heard and answered because the Bible tells us Jesus was a pious person. Now, God's Son, that is Jesus, was obedient in that he was willing to learn from the experiences of life. He was the Son of God, and he could simply have claimed that as a reason for not enduring all of the experiences that he endured here on the earth. Verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, the word obedience here means to listen attentively and therefore to do the things that are supposed to be done. It has in it the idea of a sort of straining forward and listening to instructions so that you can do what you're taught. So it has in it the idea of anxiousness to learn so that upon learning we may do what the one teaching us wants to do. And here's what I think Paul is saying, that Jesus Christ was a son, and yet he wanted to learn so that he would be a qualified priest. And one of the qualifications was that he had to know how to have pity and compassion and mercy upon the ignorant and those who were out of the way, the sinful. So Jesus, in order to qualify himself as the high priest of the Christian religion, though he was a son, yet he listened attentively, and as he experienced the things of life, he learned. And as he learned, he more qualified himself to have compassion and mercy upon those to whom he served as the priest. And being made perfect, now we know that Jesus was perfect in every way, but this word means complete. And the earthly life of Jesus made his experiences complete so that he could say he was tempted in all points as we are tempted. And being made complete, that is not perfect in the sense of having sinned and then having been restored, but that his experiences on earth made him complete in the sense of being a sympathetic listener. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. The word author means the originator. He caused it. He started it. And Jesus Christ starts all of us on the road to salvation. None of us by our wills can say, I believe I'll be a Christian. It is by the work of Jesus Christ that the desire to be a Christian is initiated in us by the working of truth and by the working of the Word of God. The word obey here means to listen to those people who hear. So let's look at that. And being made complete, he became the instigator, the one who originates and causes our eternal salvation unto all them that hear him. And that has in it the idea of then responding to what we hear and being willing to accept what we hear. It's not a matter of doing something in the sense of living a life, but it has in it the idea of responding to the truths that are preached so that we place ourselves under the leadership and under the priesthood of Jesus. Now, called of God, and here's where we read this qualification, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And this afternoon, as we sit here, what we're doing is seen over, watched over, and seen to by the high priest of our profession, by the high priest of our calling, and that's Jesus. So he's offering what we do. He offers it to Almighty God. He first offered himself and offered his blood. Now he represents me and you. He represents this church. He represents what we do before God Almighty. We're not without activity. We're not without help. We're not without direction. Jesus is our high priest.